This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
Today's show is brought to you by Yo Radio, the first music and radio platform with stations curated and managed by artists and influencers from across the globe. From Drake Bell to Megadeth's David Ellefson to UFC star Uriah Hall, just to name a few. Welcome to Yo Radio. Yo Radio delivers the best listener experience and is completely free. From hip-hop to rock to blues to EDM, Yo Radio has the music you want at your fingertips. Download the app now in the App Store for Apple devices and in the Google Play Store for Android. Or just go to YoRadio.com. That's YoRadio.com.
It's time to step up to the plate with Jim, Steve, Fish, and former two-time Gold Glover World Series champion, Benji Molina.
A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
Ranger, that is! In the left field, hit number 3,000, a run is scored!
Smith corks one into right down the line, it may go!
The Cardinals there! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant!
Breeze hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
Swing and a miss! The Cardinals are world champions for 2006.
In the air to left, well hit. Back is Craig. What a team! What a ride! The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.
Good morning, Cardinal Nation. Welcome to the new edition of Two Birds on a Bat podcast, your fans podcast show. This is Steve-O. I'm going to be in here with Josh Potter.
What's going on, guys?
Just hanging out, making a couple friends, and Jimbo's running a little late, so we got with the the inmates are going to run the asylum for about 10 minutes, and then he's get in here. So we're going to get rid of producer Brian. He's going to leave the room for a little bit so we can have a little bit of fun. This might be an uncensored podcast. I don't know. It might get a little crazy. So we're going to try not to screw up any of our sponsors and go through a couple things before Jim gets here, and then he'll go through, he does all that off the top of his head type thing, man. He's amazing how he does it. But let's get our first sponsor out of the way, the M4 by Yachty brand. On the M4 by Yachty hotline, we got everybody's favorite Cardinal, Benji Molina. BMO.
What's going on, guys? I hope you guys had a great weekend, and I'm ready to talk Cardinal baseball, man. Ready to get on it.
Let's get the personal stuff out of the way here. How's the fishing out there in the Seattle area?
Holy crap. It's good fishing. And then we are close to Oregon. I don't know if you ever heard of Oregon fishing, but Oregon's fishing is really good, too. And then Alaska is pretty close to here. So we in a fishing heaven here, man. I mean, these fish right here, they're waiting for BMO out there. I can see him right here from my window. I can see him jumping. It's like, I'm here.
Well, this is what we want to do. We need to get you back in town. And I know there's one of our followers out there, one of our subscribers to the podcast, that probably does something called noodling. You ever heard of that, BMO, noodling when you go fishing?
No.
Okay.
No, what is that?
Here's what you do. You're going to get in a shallow part of the river, okay, and you're going to swim around the bank, and you're going to find a catfish breeding hole, okay? So you're going to search in these murky waters. You're going to shove your hand in there and let the catfish just swallow your whole arm, and then you got to pull the thing out and get him out of the water like that. That's a real man's fishing experience right there.
Hey, I'm with you. That's a real man fishing right there. So I'll stick with my boating and outside the water. And I don't want no freaking catfish having my arm, but I seen it, man, and it looks fun. They have fun. They just go down under, put their hand in there, and they bring some beast too. I mean, huge fish, man. I love that too. But for me to do that, I don't know, man. I don't know if I'm capable of doing that. You know,
I'm with you. I'm not doing it.
Fisherman, I like it. I love it. I love watching it. But I'm a margarita guy on the boat, and let the line do the job, baby.
Perfect. The other thing we need to get you to do here is we need one of these river monsters, these big catfish up here on the Mississippi and the Missouri rivers. There's got to be somebody that listens to our show that's like a guide or something. If you are, I need you to private message the show. And we'll get BMO up there for a little fishing excursion. That sounds like fun. We'll be in a boat, and we'll catch a monster catfish. That's what I'm talking about.
Well, if y'all want to get on the river, I know plenty of people.
Well, there's getting on the river, and then there's getting on the river to catch a fish.
They know how to catch some fish, man. Oh, they're fishing tournaments down at the Ozarks all the time. Oh, yeah.
Hey,
just say the word.
Josh can help us out. With that, man, because he knows. So, hey, man, we need to make it happen. I mean, I love fishing, dude. I love it. And I don't care if I get anything. Sometimes we go out and we get skunked, you know, and nothing happens and not even a bite. But I don't care. The lines are underwater, and that's what I care, man. There's just that adrenaline just to wait to see if a fish bite or not. I love that feeling. But, man, yeah, we need to make it happen to a lake or to a river or something like that, man. Heck yeah, that'll be a fun trip.
Perfect. Well, we're going to work on putting that together by the end of the year. But let's rattle off the last couple of sponsors here. We're sitting in the patio studio. Patio's been very kind to us down there. If you're looking for a place to go down and pregame before the Cardinals come into town, get there before the traffic, park close, get in there. They got ice cold beer there at Patio's. It's the original party place for the St. Louis Cardinal game. Get down there and enjoy that. So that's one. I got to tell you, man, this Lineup Media group here that we're a part of, there's 8 different businesses under Lineup Media here. And this Yo Radio is really taking off. It's a streaming radio service. If you haven't had a chance, and I know that little ad runs probably right as our music goes or sometime during a show. They do all that afterwards. This Yo Radio, download it. You can listen through the podcast, all of them in the family of podcasts here at Lineup Media. You can listen to different radio stations that they have, different celebrities
that
do things.
Yeah, they call it influencers, and they have their own stations. They just put out their playlist. You listen to their playlist, and that you just kind of follow their social media sites, and they say when they're going to go on, you know, their station and talk, or, you know, whatever it is, if they have a giveaway or if they're just going to talk and, you know, bullshit. I mean, it's perfect. It's perfect for the fans.
Absolutely. And with the weather being so nice out right now, if you're looking to golf, get over to Arlington Greens, the gym of the Metro East Side. Go out there and play a little golf. Go see Mark Marcuso down there in Arlington Greens. Tell him that the boys at Birds on a Bat sent you. He'll probably not get a discount, but he will smile at you and tell you to hit him long and straight. So he's a great guy down there at Arlington Greens. And we'll let when Jim gets in, we'll let him go through the innovative companies with Randy and Stephanie Green and all that they do, since he just it's like – and this guy, Jimbo, knows nothing about – any sort of manual labor. So how he remembers all the things that Randy and Stephanie do over there at Innovative Companies, it just amazes me. But I want to talk right now. I want to get on to a little bit of the Cardinals. And the topic I wanted to really touch on, it seems to be the hot topic with everybody complaining about Mike Matheny and his bullpen management. And Josh, you and I talked a little bit about this right before we called BMO. But the fact of the matter is, if you only trust 2 guys down there in the bullpen, and one guy's at least your 9th-inning guy, and the other guy might be your 8th-inning guy, and you're worried about him wearing out Hicks and Norris and ruining those guys, how is that Mike Matheny's fault? If there's only 2 guys in the bullpen that can get somebody out, what is he to do? That's either management needs to go get better equipment, better pitchers for the bullpen, right? Mo and Gersh got to get out there and get more players. Or the Cardinals that are batting the 1 through 9 hitters there need to score more runs. We are in a high leverage situation virtually every game. Okay? When you score 4 runs in the first inning and then you sit back and you don't do shit for the next 6, and then all of a sudden they score a run here, since he scores a run there. Now it's 4-2. You're a walk and a bomb in that Cracker Jack box away from being tied up. Or a walk and a hit and a bomb from losing a game. You're in a high leverage situation. Go out there and score 8-9 runs. Keep putting it on them. Because it seems like that, you know, the middle innings, we're not doing shit. You got to get your pitchers out of high leverage situations. So it's either on upper management or it's on the players. I don't see – Bimo, what does Matheny do if he can only trust 2 guys to throw?
He has his hands tied. I don't know why it's so difficult for fans to understand that. I think it's difficult because they want him out, right? They want a change. They want the hitting coach out for like 3 years, if I remember. They want him out. They want Matheny out for probably 2 years. And this is the 3rd year in a row they want him out. Maybe that's why it's hard for them to understand what really managing the bullpen is. It's when the guys are available. And not only that, because obviously we got Gregerson, which I think could be a big, big help in those middle innings, but he's hurt. But not only that, as Devo and Josh, you have to get people out. You have to get freaking people out. And that's exactly, that's how it is. That's how it has to be. If you don't have those guys out there in the bullpen that you can count on, all of a sudden, dude, you don't have anybody. Whoever you throw out there, you don't trust so far. So you're just hoping that they get the 3 out. That's it. You just pray and you say, okay, Revia, here we go. So get me this inning. And then you flip a coin, and then you go to the next guy. But when you have a bullpen that is consistent getting people out, you'll have a Milwaukee Brewers right now. You will have a Cleveland Indians last year. You would have the Cubs 2 years ago because they consistently got people out. They didn't have trouble. They didn't give up anything. And when they did give up, it was after 7 holds and 7 wins that they hold, and then one hiccup, and then here they come again, 7 more or 6 more, and they did great. That's how it has to be. But when you don't have that, when you're struggling out of the bullpen, like you said, they have 2 guys out in the bullpen, why is it always Matheny's fault? Like, why is it always the manager's fault when you have to have guys to perform out there on the field? Every time he brings Sisso, Something happened. He gave it up or something happened, you know? So how come people don't understand that he has to pitch? That's a spot in our freaking bullpen. And if he sits him down, all you're doing is hurting the other guys. That guy, he has to pitch. The only problem is he has to pitch better. He has to be one of those guys to pitch better. And I believe it. I believe that it's not Matheny's fault. The management, maybe you can blame him a little bit or whatever you want to do. But the players have to perform, man. When you put a guy out there, you want him to get 1, 2, 3 innings. I mean, constantly. I mean, I'm not saying they're not going to have their bats, and, you know, it's a long season. But I'm saying constantly, like consistency out there to getting people out. That's what makes a difference. But I'm not going to sit here and blame Matheny for doing anything when he has a few guys in the freaking DL. He's had Carlos in the DL. The Reyes got on it. He was counting on that. And then you have Wainwright out, and then you have all these guys in the bullpen that are out. How can you blame that guy, you know? This is an opportunity for the young guys to step up and do their job. That's just exactly what it is.
Right.
But I'm with you. You can do Matheny on this one. You have to have the kids, you know, accountable. They got to do their job, man.
Right. Well, here's my other thought that I brought up to Josh is Jordan Hicks is not a once-in-a-generation pitcher anymore. I mean, it used to be you get a guy throwing high 90s, touching 100, that those guys weren't out there. This is a young cat, right? He ascended through the minor leagues rapidly. He's throwing 103, 104, touching 105. Guess what? You might have to draft somebody else that can do that next year, the following year. Burn the kid out if you have to. We need to win games. We saw what happened when it was a 6-4 or a 4-2 game the other day. I forget what the exact score was, and they bring in Cecil, and he gave up four runs immediately. And we were down. So are you going to tell me that every time you bring in the Cecil, that all of a sudden all the fans and all the players are going to be like, oh, yeah, we're just giving up? If the guy can't get anybody out, you can't pitch him. Hicks can get somebody out. Use him.
If you have him in the roster, it's like the Baseball Hall of Fame. We know who the guy who did steroids was. If you don't want him to be voted in, don't put him in the roster, right? Don't put him in that paper and the ballot. So it's the same with the pitcher. If you don't trust and you don't want that guy, and he's always giving it up and he's always doing this, if you don't want him, just don't have him in the roster. Trade him, release him, do whatever you have to do to have another guy out there that might help you. That's what you need to do. But if you have him in the roster, that's what you have. That's what you have. You cannot just turn the page and say, okay, Cecil's not pitching on this one. Okay, Cecil's not pitching on this one. Okay, Cecil's not pitching on this. You can't do that. He has to go out there. The more all of the bullpen pitch, the more healthier they're going to be because everybody else is rested. But as soon as you keep one freaking guy, out of pitching for a few days because you don't trust him, the other guys will be tired. And that's just normal. You're not doing science here. But if you don't trust a guy, do something about it. You know what I mean?
Hey, I'm here. And I'm not 100% sure what I walked into. please tell me that we're talking about the idiots on Twitter yesterday upset because they brought Cecil in the game.
No. We're just talking about the.
Did you see that yesterday?
Yeah.
That was. Yeah. Listen, I'm going to start a new segment. By the way, it's going to be called Idiot Twitter of the Week. Idiot Tweet of the Week. And I'm going to tell
you. Is there a prize that goes along with that?
Shit, I'm going to be on this every week.
It's going to be a shit burger. Because here's the deal: if you're listening to this show and you tweeted yesterday, you can't believe Matheny gave up on that game and brought Brett Cecil in. You're an idiot. And you can call in. You can come in. The address is 103 West Vandalia, Suite 100, Edwardsville, Illinois, 62025. Come on in. We do the show every Monday and Thursday at 10. If you tweeted yesterday that Matheny's an idiot and he gave up on the game and he brought Cecil in, you're officially an idiot. Come on down, and we'll talk about it because you're an idiot. Let's listen. I know everybody loves Martinez, and if you talk bad about Martinez, it makes you a hypocrite and all this kind of stuff. Your starter gave you 3.2 innings yesterday. And going into the game, you had to be a moron not to know that your bullpen was already on fumes. Those three guys that pitched yesterday were pitching whether we were up one or down 10. If you have a problem with yesterday, you're an idiot. An absolute idiot. Come on down. Come on down. This is the Price is Right, bitch. Come on down.
Come on down reminds me of Art Hack Buick. Come on down to Art Hack Buick.
I mean, I've been out of the – I'm doing my all-star stuff this week. I'm working about 20 hours a day. I came home yesterday because it was an early day for me. I actually got to go watch my kid play a couple games. I came home last night. And I knew Twitter was going to freak out because we lost a game. I knew it was, right?
No, we didn't lose a game. That was against the Reds, so that one doesn't count. Right, BMO?
Right. Okay. So we finally lost to the Reds. I was following along on my phone while I was watching my kid yesterday. The bottom line is your ace, and he's our ace. He gave us 3.2 innings yesterday. He wasn't very good. And instead, that's right, and we lost. That's it. We lost. Okay. The reality of it is, okay, Brett Cecil come in and gave up a run, and everybody said Cecil couldn't hold it to a two-run lead. You're an idiot. Idiot. You want Jordan Hicks to come in there? Bud Norris? Who do you want to come in there? You can't pitch him. People are already – the same people complaining that you can't throw him every day are upset when we bring in Brett Cecil.
That was the whole point of the conversation. So
this
either
stupid. This is getting stupid, people. You're complaining to complain. Stop being a bitch. You can be upset. You cannot be happy. I don't like to lose. I hate. Guess what, folks? You know what? I'm not a Matheny apologist. I actually don't like him, if you want to know the truth. I think he's a terrible manager. There you go. Okay, I think he does dumb shit. He knows so much more than we do, so much more. Quit acting like you know more because you don't. Okay, they have a medical staff, whether you like them or not. They have a player. Jordan Hicks comes to the park every day, tells them how he feels, talks to the medical staff. They look at his usage. They figure it out. Does it work all the time? No, it doesn't. Do guys come up that throw that have perfect mechanics and all of a sudden they break down? Yes. Are they used properly? Yes. It happens all the time. At every level, on every team. So stop it. Stop it. There, I feel so much better now.
Well, I hope so.
I do.
Coming in, guns a-blazing.
Well, speaking of guns a-blazing, why don't you read through the innovative company thing? We got through everything else.
Okay, so here we go. So the bottom line is I got to come in and pay the bills. Right?
Well, you're on the payroll.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
I got everybody else. I handled the golf. I handled M4.
Yeah.
What else? USA Mortgage. I handled USA Mortgage.
Oh, you're back.
I'm back, baby.
Oh, okay, you're back, baby.
So you need to handle Innovate. Oh, you know what I didn't handle?
TwoBirdsOnTheBat.com.
Well, I handled Yo Radio. I didn't handle Adam's Smokehouse.
Yeah, what is wrong with you?
I'm not hungry yet. It's still 10:20 in the morning. Well, in about 20 minutes.
Did we talk about TwoBirdsOnTheBat.com is where you can find the show, subscribe to the show, which is absolutely free, and, of course, you can do your shopping at Amazon. Help us out with production costs. Please and thank you. Some of you guys are doing that. It means a lot to us. Helps us with our producers, Brian Crock, Andrew Allen, that do all the work really behind the scenes. Find us on Twitter at BirdsOnTheBatShow. Like our Twitter page. If you're a Cardinal fan, I get people that like our page all the time, and you know, sometimes there's, you know, it's just like a picture of something and there's nothing in their bio, so I click on it and make sure they're not like a Cub fan trolling us or something like that. But then I'll scroll down and see that they're retweeting Cardinal stuff. So again, if we find out you're a Cardinal fan in any way, shape, or form, we're going to follow you back. If we don't, just send us a message and say, hey, I followed you guys, I love the Cardinals, we'll follow you back. Same thing on Facebook. Simply type in Two Birds on a Bat in the search bar. Find our Facebook page. Like our page. Click invite your friends. Happy to have you guys be a part of this. I'm telling you right now, my man Thursday. See, I'm going to be gone Thursday. Okay? So, Steve-O, it's you and Josh Thursday with Benji.
Hey, I got classes on Thursday.
Oh, okay.
We're going to have to move. Yes. We're going to have to push to Friday. I'm in Springfield.
Well, you and Benji can work that out. So, Josh, here's the deal. My man Josh over here, speaking of Facebook, has put together an unbelievable contest, okay? He's put in hours of work. He's got an unbelievable little GIF video to show you how to do this. Honestly, even these idiot Twitter people that tweet dumb shit can do this, okay? This is how simple Josh has worked tirelessly at this. But we have, thanks to our friend Benji and Yadier Molina, we have an autographed Marcell Ozuna shirt. And I would say, anytime you hit a ball as far as he hit the other day, it's time to give away something autographed by Marcell Ozuna.
Yeah.
So we're going to unveil the contest on Monday. I'm going to have my man Josh be ready. We're going to tell you how to do this. It's actually a fun contest that involves how many people that you're friends with like our Facebook page. So it's going to entice you to share stuff, to invite your friends. Basically, it's this, folks. Even if you got 10, 10's what you got. If you got 100 mutual friends that like it, then you got 100. Okay, build your community. Every one of your friends, at the end of this, you're going to have a whole month to build your community. You're going to get an entry in for this jersey. So if you got 10, you're still going to have 10 entries. But if you got 100, you're going to have 100. We all know 100's better than 10.
You know what I'm waiting for with Ozuna?
What?
Remember I'm blanking on the name. What was the guy with the little red beard during the World Series?
Spezio.
Spezio. Remember when everybody was walking around with red little soul patches?
You want everybody walking around with yellow arm sleeves?
Absolutely. When is that going to happen where everybody's...
It's not, because, again, more people on Twitter have a problem with his yellow arm sleeve because it's not red or blue or white. Yes.
I'm waiting for the day when everybody goes to the ballpark in a yellow arm sleeve.
You know who should wear one? Randy Green. Maybe Stephanie Green, our friends at Innovative Companies. Don't forget, residential, commercial, industrial, 35 years experience, second-generation craftsman. More importantly, a man of his word, and Benji's eating partner, if anybody's noticed, at Adam's Smokehouse. Check them out. We've got the construction team, heating and cooling, the electric team, and now the plumbing team. They've got it all under one roof there for you. And again, the most important thing with Innovative Companies, folks, they want to get involved early. They want to help you with the process. Most people that come to Randy early wind up saving themselves tons of time and, more importantly, money. Get a hold of my man, Randy Green. Again, the only thing I can tell you is he's a man of his word. Don't forget Adam Smokehouse. As I can't believe Adam Smokehouse got missed by Steve. I mean, when it comes to food, you usually don't miss. But make sure you check out our friends over at Adam Smokehouse. All right.
Now let's go back on. Let's get on the hitting now.
Oh, we're going to get on the hit. Well, then talk to the hitter. Benji's the hitter. The guy could hit. He could teach hitting too.
So let's get.
I pitch too. Don't forget.
Yeah, he pitched too.
Oh my gosh.
And catchers make great pitching coaches.
And I play short, second, first, third, outfield. I play everywhere, man. So
hey,
watch out.
Hey, by the way, do you see this second baseman making all these diving catches in the outfield for the Cubs?
Yeah,
Ian Happ.
Yeah,
you see him making all these great catches.
Yeah,
so I'm just throwing that out there because you know we put Colton Wong in the outfield to try to get him in the lineup. The guy that they don't like, they tried to get him in the lineup and put him in the outfield, and it was, you know, how can you do that? Did you see Chris Bryant play the outfield?
Hey, let me tell you what,
Jason Kipnis.
If people don't understand this, and I get it, the big leagues is a little bit different, okay? But these guys are the best of the best, okay? Colton Wong can track a fly ball. Yep. I can guarantee you that.
Yep.
Okay?
Yep.
The other thing I can guarantee you is that Tommy Pham can probably catch a ground ball. And yep, with a little work, I bet you he could turn a pretty nice double play.
Yeah.
Okay?
All of them can.
They all can.
Yeah.
So if you're moving guys around, and that's what, you know, getting into the whole Jose Martinez stuff.
Right.
Is trying to find a place for him. If you don't like him at first base, then we got to find someplace because his bat plays in this lineup.
His bat plays in the lineup. Here's the deal, what it comes down to, and then I'll always refer back to the professional baseball player. But if you know anything about athletics whatsoever, the number one thing you have to have is great feet.
Yep.
Okay? Tommy Pham has good feet. Colton Wong has good feet. All these guys have good feet. What Jose Martinez doesn't have is good feet. That's the issue at the end of the day. See, it's not a throwing problem. It's not a glove problem. It's a foot problem.
Have you guys seen, like, the new thing now? It's like everybody's saying, well, why not? Why aren't we testing him out in right field? Why aren't we doing this? Why? A, we have four.
Well, because he was an outfielder for
I get that. But you really think he's going to do much better? I mean, I guess He's not going to see as many plays.
People are down on Dexter Fowler. They think he's lazy. They think he's a bad outfielder.
So what, and then you don't start Bader either?
Well, there. I mean,
listen, Bader needs to play.
I mean,
Jose Martinez's bat plays in this lineup.
Yeah, he has to play.
He has to play.
Right. Yeah.
Benji, what do you think? Does he play?
He has to play. I've been telling you guys, he has to play. He has to play. I know and I understand. His difficulties at first. He might not be the great outfielder either. In the outfield, he might be good. He might not be what we used to, like Bader or Pham or, you know, guys like Osuna that track balls down and stuff. But it's who we have, and he's our best hitter. So it's either first base. And I told you guys at the beginning, I don't know if you guys remember, you sacrificed the defense to have a guy like this driving in runs and helping your team trying to score the runs that we don't score. Because go ahead, trade him away. I hope the guy who comes back from that trade does the same way that these guys do, because if they don't, what was the point of it? So go ahead, you can trade him away. I don't mind. I mean, he'll be great somewhere else. Even if in the DH, he'll be out there hitting. Instead of us using him, but people are just dogging him because of his defense. Yeah, he might not be a great defender. I get that. But you know, he's our best hitter, man. That shouldn't even be a conversation. Like, I guess what Martinez's doing now is managing, you know, the whole thing, getting him out. After seven, he got somebody else in, but he almost killed us the other day because his at-bat came up later when we were tied. So I don't know, man. Go ahead. They're doing a good job of managing him. I mean, they know he cannot play so much, so good at first. One thing the fans need to know, I don't care how much you get on the guy, you know, because he's not a good first baseman or whatever. I don't care how much you get there. But I'll tell you what, nobody works harder than Jose Martinez at first base. every single day he's working out there trying to get better, trying to do what you just said, Jimbo, about their feet, and he has no feet. He's trying to work on that. He's one of them. He's an outfielder coming in to play first, and he is a big boy. So I think he's working hard at it. You know, I'm with you in the defense, but the way he's hitting, what the heck? If you don't want that guy because of the defense, where do you put Carp? Where do you put Wong that's hitting 170, 180? Where do you put these guys? If you don't want, if you're a fan out there and you don't want to play Jose because his defense is hurting us, it's killing us, what happened to the other guys hitting 170? Do you want him in double A? Because that's what sounds to me. You have the best hitter. Let it rest. Let him battle his ways up first. And you knew as a team and as an organization, you have Jose Martinez at first. This is not a new thing. You knew you were going to have this kid out there. So guess what? Let him play. If he makes an error, let's hope that he gets a double with the base loaded next at bat. That's it. That's all we have to do. But you cannot, oh, man, we got to get him out of the lineup. Oh, we got to get him. Okay, go ahead. Get him out of the lane. Let's see how many runs we score.
Hey, I'm glad you brought that up. I am curious, Benji, if you want to share this. I'm under the impression, and I saw something in the paper, or it was either in the paper or it might have been in a conversation, but it was a media member. This wasn't a Twitter warrior, a keyboard warrior, just making up his own shit. What is a typical day like at the ballpark? And I'm talking about the stuff that goes on before anybody can see it. And I guess what we know as fans is this. You know, players show up. They probably spend some time. If they've got aches, pains with the medical staff, there's probably some stretching with some trainers. You know, there's health stuff. We know that. They come in for that. We know they come in and they have workouts. You know, some guys have day game workouts, things that they do early in the day, late in the day. You know, that was, I think we got our first real taste of that when Mark McGwire was here. Everybody would talk about after the game, he was in the weight room. And then when Matt Holliday got here, I think we started learning more and more that players actually do work out during the season. It's not something you don't do.
Well, if you follow them on Instagram, they're always taking videos before the game. And they're working out, doing push-ups and,
whatever.
Yeah.
But my question is, I think there's a lot of Cardinal fans out there that think that this team just rolls up to the park, goes out, takes some BP, and goes out and plays baseball.
Yeah, game time is on time.
Yeah, so my question is, we have seen videos that get, and I'm going to use the word leaked, of, you know, like we saw a video, what was it? It was a couple weeks ago of Jose Oquendo working with Jose Martinez at first base, and it was probably at about 2 o'clock. Does that go on every day? Does that go on every other day? I mean, these guys play 162 games. They show up at the park at 1 o'clock. They're there till 11 o'clock. They got to get rest. Is this something that happens every day? Do they try to schedule days for this? Do they work on base running? Do they work on bump plays? Do they work on PFPs? Do they do all this stuff every day? Do they do it every other day? Do they schedule it? If a guy's struggling, does he ask for extra work? How does it work?
If something happens in the game today, they'll work at it tomorrow. But if nothing happens, let's say for a week and everything just flow normal, they do it, I would say, 4 days out of the seven. But the thing is that the fans need to understand, they don't do it for a half an hour. Like, they do it for 10 to 15 minutes. But that 10 to 15 minutes gets tomorrow, too. Yadi goes out there and gets ground ball every single day. Nobody knows that. He's at short. He's at second base. He's at first base, getting ground balls every single day. Everybody thinks he's just a catcher. No, Yadi's getting ground balls at first. Francisco Peña, Tony's son, he gets ground balls at first. Everybody's out there every single day getting ground balls and talking about the defense and all that. Every single day, maybe the day game. When it's a little rainy, of course, you're not going to see anybody out there. But if it's even a day game and they're outside for 10, 15, 20 minutes, they still be out there. I seen them on the day game getting out there, getting ground ball, getting the legs loose, and go back in, getting your stuff. But a lot of these kids, they get here at the stadium, they get like around 12:30, they get something they eat at the stadium, and then they get ready for their workouts, because all of them work out, but one guy, I ain't going to say who, but all of them work out, so they go to the workouts. A lot of people work out after the game, too. So they go work out, rest. If they have to stretch, they go get a stretch in the arm. They go stretch their legs with the trainers. Then they go relax. They go relax until BP. But don't forget, they have early hitting. They have early fielding. So before BP, they go out and they go ground balls if you're working on it. The other day, Harrison Bader is when I was there, and Yadier came out and told me, what is Bader doing out there in the outfield? He had like defensive game yesterday, and he was working with Willie McGee. So that tells you, even if you had a great game, he still go out there and work and do the work. And I'm like, wow, he had a good game? Yeah, he had a good game, man. Let him rest a little. The things like that, you know? But he wasn't out there for long. He was out there for 10 minutes working on the right-hand side, back-end play on the outfield and throwing a guy out at second and things like that. He was there for 10 minutes, I bet. And he went out. He went in and probably refreshed himself. And then the BP comes in and they do their routine of BP. And then when they get out, they go get a sandwich. They go get something. And they're ready for the game, you know. So that's the routine of every day. After the game, a lot of people work out. They stay in and work out, and they go home, and they do this again the next day. So they have their routine. It's not – the game is at 7, and a lot of people there get there at 12:30, man. I mean, that tells you, look at all those hours, and they're doing something. Or either watching videos of the team that they're facing, watching videos of the pitcher, or watching video of their relievers, because that's very important. Those are the guys you're going to face with the game on the line and the closers. I mean, they watch videos every day. They're always doing this. People think it's just show up. It's not like that, man. You'll be surprised how many hours they spend on that clubhouse there, man.
Now, is it player discretion? You know, at the player's discretion to like go out and like do stuff that Harrison, you know, what Bader did or does in the outfield, like getting in that extra work, or Jose over at first base. Like, do they just go up to the coach or whichever coach and say, hey, can you hit me some fungo, or can you, you know, work with my footwork? You know, is it just at their discretion? Do they choose when they want to go, or?
It usually happens from the coach. Like, Okendo will tell you yes or no. Today's a good day. No, today's not a good day for you. You got to rest. So it's usually coming from the coach, but it could also come from the guy, hey, man, I feel a little bit, you know, I don't feel so good about this backhand play here. I don't feel so great. So can we do this? Can we help? Can you help me out? And then they go outside and work on it. So it usually comes from the manager, from the coaching, but it also could easily come from the player, because I did it many times. I mean, we didn't have anything for catching, but I told the guy, but catching is different. Catching, you go out there before the game and before the pitcher starts throwing, you do your routine. So block balls, your hand, you know, footwork and release the hand and stuff like that. You do it every day, so it's different. But I did it sometimes, like, hey, man, I don't feel good blocking the slider onto the right. Let's go work at it real quick. And then you take 10 minutes, then you go back in. So it works both ways. The coaches mainly have the options, but the players also, they call on them and they say, hey, man, it's like hitting. Mabry will go every single day around the whole clubhouse. Hey, we're here, man. We're here at 12. We're here. So whoever needs it, let's go. Or he'll say, hey, man, yesterday was a tough game for you. Let's go work on a couple of things. Come on, let's go. And then he'll go work out for 10, 15 minutes, let him go. Or the player will say, hey, man, I need the machine. Put the machine on and let me hit some curveballs. I had trouble yesterday. And it works that way, you know, both ways.
I think the big question is, I think Cardinal fans getting an uproar, and I'm not even saying unrightfully so. I think Cardinal fans getting an uproar when they think maybe the guys aren't working. I mean, let's face it. The game's really hard, right? I think we all know that. I say all the time.
You can get it out of their head, Jimbo, right now. Just get it out of their head because that ain't happening. This is an organization. This is not a Hawaii or a resort trip or some Cabo, or this is not a Canada trip, whatever you want to call it, a fishing trip. It's none of that, man. We as fans, we got to get that out of the head, out of your head, because it's a hard working deal every single day. Believe me, I was the assistant hitting coach, and I pitch almost every single day of the season, because whenever they don't hit outside, they hit inside. It's just because they don't hit outside doesn't mean they don't hit inside. They hit in the cage. That's what it means. They go, they say, oh, no BP today. But, yeah, no BP outside. But it's BP going on inside. They have two cages down there. So the same way that we can hit outside, it's the same deal inside. So we hit almost every single day, and I'm the living proof because I pitch almost every single day I was there. And I can tell you that. I can assure you that. They work hard. They have a special trainers for people in the weight room. They have special trainers for people that are hurt. They have the masseuse. They have a chiropractor for if you feel bad. They have every single guy available. They have the pitching coaches. They have the two bullpen catchers if you need to throw bullpen or flat ground. I mean, this is not a party city over there. So the fans that are thinking that, like you said, Jimbo, they're not smart because they don't know anything about it. But these guys work hard.
Yeah, I know that you know Coach Hendrickson over at St. Louis University. He's been throwing batting practice for the Cardinals for about – oh, no, he's told me, you know, there's times where he has to stay and there's guys hitting during the games. They go down in the tunnel and get some swings and he's –
well, that's how Pham got hurt.
Well, yeah, he was sitting there. Yeah, he was using his own little contraption, but –
Still working, you know what I mean?
No, it was funny. He got hit with his own little thing. But, no, that's the thing. You know, it was funny. I always kind of give Darren a little credit. You know, these guys that can throw strikes on command, and it's not just that. They can throw low and away. Hey, I'm really struggling low and away. And these guys that throw BP, it's an art, man. It really is. He's like, okay, low and away, and just pepper the low and away zone and let this guy drive the ball the other way. Or, hey, I'm getting busted inside. Let me tell you something. I've talked to Darren about it before. I'm like, is it nerve-wracking for you when Albert Pujols says, hey, I'm getting jammed. You got to bust me inside. And here's the greatest player of our time period here, and he's throwing BP from 40 feet. And he's busting him inside, and he's like,
"Heck yeah, yeah!"
You know, and Darren's like, "You know, I got to tell you the truth. I don't even think about it." He's like, it's just something I can do," and it's just like, "Oh my god, I drill him. I know I would. I've never."
When I first was a coach, guys, I went to spring training. I haven't touched a ball in years because I just retired in 2010, and I coached in 2013, so. Here I am, and the first thing that Mabry said, hey, buddy, how you doing, man? Hey, how's your arm? And I'm like thinking, how's my arm? What do you mean? My arm is good. I haven't thrown a ball in since 2010. They go, what? It's 2013? I said, yeah, because you have first group, buddy. I'm like, what? This is my first day coaching, right? And I'm like, first group, and I ran right over there to see the paper and see who was in first group. It was Yachty. It was Cart. It was Matt Holliday. I mean, it was all these big guns, Alan Craig. And I'm like, holy moly, I haven't thrown a freaking ball since 2010, and these dudes want me to go first freaking group. I was as nervous as I was my first at-bat in the major leagues, dude. I was just puking, and I mean, inside of me and everything, man, I was so nervous. And it's really, really hard because you want to throw the ball so perfect for these kids that sometimes you don't. Sometimes it's just normal. You have to, I mean, to throw BP, it has to be somebody special, like your friend said there, you know, like, oh, I do it all the time, and that's okay. I mean, it has to be somebody like that because it was hard for me the first week or so. But it was more because I wasn't ready for it. I was hurting. My arm was really sore because I haven't thrown a ball and stuff. But after I got used to, man, I pitch every single day in every group. And let me tell you this, guys, real quick. Whenever the BP was over, outside or inside, I go get my stuff. And, I'm a assisting hitting coach. I'm inside in the cage most of the game. So here comes Carp in the first inning every game. I'm talking about every game, okay? Not every other game. Every game. Carp, here it comes. Here it comes. Hey, Benji, can you toss me some balls? All right. And I'm thinking lower, right? Like toss. No, can you pitch? I'm like, yeah. Let's go. I'm ready. Okay, there he goes, Carp. Here comes Alan Craig. Hey, Bimo, can you toss me some balls? And this is after, during the game, okay? This is after I already threw BP. He goes, hey, Bimo, can you throw me outside, please? I'm like, all right, cool. Here we go. Bam, bam, bam. Here you go. That's two guys. Here comes Matt Holiday. And I'm like, Matt, what do you want? He goes, can you toss me some sliders? And I said, yeah. What the hell? I'm a pitcher, so I know how to spin the ball. So here I am throwing BP to Matt Holiday. And then Matt Holiday leaves. Here comes Yadi. Yadi, okay, what do you want? Fake a changeup. Let me see if I can pick your hand and da-da-da-da-da. And then Yadi will go, and then Beltran come in. Hey, Bimo, toss me in. Come on, let's go. This is during the freaking game, bro. Whenever you see him go down to the tunnel, they're not going to have fun and have a drink. They're freaking going to work on whatever didn't work at bat before. It's like the guy got him on a slider. They put the machine and say, hey, throw me some slider because that Edwards Jr. is coming for the Cubs. Or put me some changeup because a stroke is coming. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So this happens every single game. So for anybody to question their work ethic or work, it's really stupid. It's not good.
Hey, this reminds me. It's off Cardinal topic. It's more. Were you familiar? Did you know Ken Griffey Jr. at all? Like, were you familiar with him at all?
I knew who he was, and I play against him for many years. But he wasn't very nice to me. Like, he wasn't. He wouldn't even say hi to me when he came to bat. Or, you know, everybody said hi to me. Everybody. I mean, American or Latin player or whoever it was. But I don't know why. Maybe he was. I'm not saying he's a bad guy for it. He doesn't have to say hi to me. But I would say a lot of the kids that I knew. Like Jeter, Ichiro, all of them, Edgar, everybody would say hi. Hey, man, how you doing? How's the family? Okay, let's go to work, man. Torrey Hunter, I mean, everybody. But he was one of those guys that never would say hi. And the guys that I talked to about that, they said he was a nice guy. He was a very nice guy. He's just very shy. And I said, all right, cool. You know, I didn't get bothered by it, but it kind of got me by surprise, you know?
Well, the only reason I asked is because in relevance to this conversation is he was a, you know, we talk about all this stuff that these guys should be doing. They should be doing this and they should be doing that. And they go down and hit in the tunnel and they watch video and they do all this. I think one of his things that everybody seems to know is, like, I believe he one time was asked about stretching. And, you know, what's funny was here's a guy that in the second part of his career had a lot of hamstring problems, and I think somebody had asked him about, you know, do you stretch enough? Somebody had asked a pro athlete, hey, do you stretch enough, you know? And he goes, and I think he said it in jest. He said, stretch? Does a cheetah stretch before it chases down its prey? You know? other things he was famous for was saying, I don't watch video. I see the ball and I hit it. I mean, you know, I don't take a bunch of extra batting, you know. I'm sure all guys are different. That's kind of what I'm getting at here. I'm sure some guys feel like they got to hit 1,000 balls a day. Some guys probably feel like, just let me get my swing dialed in. I'm ready to go. Let's go play. But we're also talking about probably one of the top 10. We're talking about a top 5, top 10 player of all time. So, you know, it just seems odd.
He might have not needed that much of a video, or he might have not needed so much about stretching because – like you say, we're talking about top 10 players in the world. So maybe he didn't need it that much, but I bet you anything he did. I bet you whatever he stretched before the game.
No.
And I bet you anything he watched some videos on pitchers. I mean, I bet you anything that he did. He probably did it last, yeah, because he's so talented. He didn't need it, maybe. It, like, if for him, if somebody was pitching that he knew he could hit and he faced him, like, three times, yeah, he might not watch videos on that guy, but he already know him. But if he's facing Jordan Hicks for the first time, I bet you anything he's in the video room trying to see and figure out what he does and if he tips, tips the pitches or whatever it is. They're looking around, man. I bet you anything he did. He might have done it less, but he still did it.
And I guess where I was going with this was, I mean, you did the job.
Nobody's bigger than the game.
That's right.
Okay, Jimbo?
That's right.
Nobody.
So that's kind of where I was going on the work side of it. So do you think there's and I guess for just discussion's sake, it to go to the other side, the dark side, I guess, are there some guys that do too much? Like rely too much on video, that take too many swings, that overthink everything instead of just go out there and let their talent take over? I'm sure there's guys that do that too.
When I was in Anaheim, was the first time I saw that. It was Darren Erstad. Darren Erstad would get to the stadium at 11 a.m. to hit for almost an hour. Listen to this. I told you, they all hit for what? 10, 15 minutes, they go. This kid would hit almost an hour at Darren Erstad. Then he'll hit before BP and then during BP. And then he'll hit before the game and after the game. Okay, this is Darren Erstad that we're talking here, and he hit that many times. So that was my first deal with a guy that did that. So here comes, Carpenter, in 2013. Here he is at 12 p.m. hitting. And I'm like, wow, I'm just getting in. And this guy's already whack. You can hear that. And I'm like, holy crap, am I late or something? So when I went down there, it was him hitting. And then after he was done, I talked to John Mabry, and I said, hey, Mabe, what's going on with Carp? Why is it, oh, Bimo, you're just starting. Don't worry about it. I had him for a few years, and this guy will hit his muscles out of the arms. And I'm like, oh, okay. So I thought he was just saying, like, three times a week for four out of seven. Dude, this guy was in the freaking cage with Mabes and me since freaking 12 p.m. to like 12:40, talking baseball, hitting baseballs. Then he'll do it again before BP. Then he'll do the BP. Then after BP, if that BP didn't go well, he will go in and try to fix it. And then he goes before the game for another 15 minutes by himself, early, before everybody got in, and he was hitting. And I'm like, how in the world do you do this? You have to be tired, because I was. If I ever hit extra work, I mean, I had to save my bullets, and that's the way I saw it. But this guy, he played first, he played second, so he wasn't like me catching, but holy crap did he hit, man. Holy moly. And most of these young kids are the same way. They go beat up themselves in the cage, because the more you do it, the more it should be working. But sometimes, like Jimbo said, they might not have it. They might not be as good as you think, and that's it, you know. It's sad, but even if you kill the cage, sometimes it might not work. So, but these guys, talking about work, these guys work their butt off, man.
Yeah, here's another perspective for fans that are like that, where they think, oh, these players aren't working as hard as they think. How about this? And that people want to get on Mabry and Matheny and the coaching staff and say that they're not, you know, doing their job and shit like that. Okay, whatever. Well, how about this? How about instead of the players not working enough, they're not listening enough? What if they're not listening to the coaches? What if they're not listening to what Mabry has to say about, you know, whoever's on the mound, whoever's going for Cincinnati or whoever's going for San Diego or Chicago, whoever the hell? What if these players are not listening to the coach? Then is it the player that needs to go or the coach that needs to go? I mean, we already know the fans' opinion. We already know that they want all the coaches gone. They want them gone. They've wanted them gone. That's never going to leave, and it's going to be a continuing issue. But, Benji, do they – I mean, I would bank on a lot of players
– or
a good amount of players not listening. You know, how often does that really happen?
It happens more than you think. It happens more than you think. You talk to these kiddos, and once they step on the box, man, and those legs start shaking, and that guy starts throwing the sinker down away and a cutter up and in, I mean, they're different hitters. They're a different mentality, man. I'm telling you. We told these guys, and I told you in a couple of shows, I told you guys what we did to get these guys prepared. We even told them what they were doing with the glove. Every time they did this with the glove, he threw a fastball. Every time he did this with the glove, he was going to throw an offbeat, stay back. We even showed them that. But talking seriously, when they get into the box, Josh, it's you against the pitcher. And if you have those legs shaking a little bit, and if you have your mind that it's not strong enough to face those guys or whatever you want to call it, you're not going to do it. You're not going to do it. I don't care who you are. Why do you think Pujols is such a great hitter? Because his mindset is great, because he listens to the coaches. He listens to anybody that has something to say about a pitching, because he knows it could help him on the box, in the box, when he step in. But most of these young kids, not all of them, obviously, we have the great ones that listen and they just don't do it. But most of these kids, they think they know it. And like Jimbo said, most of these kids work with the hitting coach outside the freaking, outside Mabry, outside Mueller. They go and get their own guy, like that Calhoun guy I told you. He paid like $20,000 to a guy in the offseason. He didn't want to work with the hitting coaches at Anaheim. And look at what he's doing. But once you step in the box, it's you against the pitcher. And if you don't have the right mindset, and if you're not prepared, I bet you anything, that pitcher could be prepared. Yeah, he could be. And he could be prepared that he could know that you don't hit the fastball inside, or you don't hit the slider down and in, like we've seen Wong swing over the top many times. They know that. He chased up in the zone. He might chase up. How many times you seen that swing that he swings up in the zone and he misses? You don't think they know that? So if you as a hitter don't understand those things, how are you expect to be better? So, yeah, you deal with that, Josh. You deal with a lot of people listening, but not hearing you, but not listening. There's a difference.
Well, so back to the question of, okay, so who goes, the coach or the player? Does Matheny go to Mozeliak and say, listen, for example, Colton Wong's been around for 5 years now, 4 years now, whatever it is. He's not listening. Does he go? Does Mozeliak trade him?
No, that doesn't happen that way.
Okay.
What I can tell you could happen is they are in a meeting when they start talking about, like right now, they probably meeting up every other night to talk about what they're going to do with their players. I bet you anything they're doing that right now. So when I was there, they did it. Every other night or every two nights, we were sitting down on a table discussing how we can get this team better and what do we need to do and things like that. So I bet you they're doing that. But to go out there, Matheny, and say, hey, man, he's not listening. No. The guys up there that watches the game, they know most of the time that they're not performing. That's what they care about. If you have a really, really hard problem with one guy, yes, I could give you that. They might, Matheny, go and say, hey, listen, this guy is really a trouble in our club and da-da-da-da-da. But that has to be like a really, really hard case.
Okay.
But a different case. But if not, Matheny will never go out there and say that. They will discuss their options and say, instead of saying Wong won't listen, they will say Wong is not performing. You know what I mean? So,
oh, yeah, I'm sure there's different verbiage that they use. Yeah.
Performing is everything in the major league level. Performing. Not potential. Performing is everything in a major league level, man.
Yeah, and that's where I don't know. I've been on the case for Wong playing, you know, in the late innings and stuff like that. I don't know. I don't think it's a work ethic thing. I don't think it's – I mean, maybe in a couple guys, like you said, you know of one guy. But, you know, what did we hear? We heard on Twitter, I don't know how accurate this is.
Jose Oquendo's having to go see. You know, he's having to beg guys to work before games. That's what I'm. You know, this of course.
I thought that's where you're going to get to originally.
Oh yeah, I saw that tweet too. Yeah, my sources are telling me that he's having to beg guys to work before games. I'm like, who are your sources?
That is never going to happen because this is a big league, and they don't have to beg anybody. They just go to you straight up and say, "Hey, Jimbo, you need ground balls, buddy. Let's go." They don't have to beg anybody because they're the coaches. They respect these guys, all of them. They respect them. If Mabry goes to Matt Carpenter and say, "Hey, man, we need to work on that outside corner. You're not hitting them. Let's go." They're not going to say no. They get up, get their batting glove, get their bats, and let's go. Let's work on it. These guys are very well respected. So that is total crap and somebody trying to stir up things or something because that never happened.
Well, I got to tell you, you know, as we look at it, you know, I mean, I know we've been talking about work ethic today because I know there's people out there and you know, all it takes a bad play here, a misplay here, a thing here. You know, it gets magnified 10 times over for sure. What I will say is this. Are we the 1980 Cardinals that were built on defense and all that? No. You know, I don't think anybody's going to mistake any of our players defensively for guys like Terry Pendleton and Ozzie Smith and Willie McGee in the outfield.
They're not the same.
They're not the same. But I don't have any doubt they're working at it. Some guys just may not be as good as others. I had to defend myself a little bit. And say, listen, I love Jose Martinez. Jose Martinez can flat out hit. You know, there's a big difference, and I said this, and you and I talked about this off the air. I don't not like Jose Martinez, and I agree he has to be in the lineup. I just don't know what to do because I find the first base thing a little bit different than third base. I mean, if you miss a hard hit ground ball at third base, I mean, it's a tough play. A lot of guys might miss that. You got to be able to catch balls or that are right around you, and you have to be able to catch balls thrown to you at first because that's a given out. That's why it's different. That being said, he's got to play. He's got to play. I mean, at this juncture, he's your number three hitter. He's got to play.
But they're probably thinking, Jimbo, it's probably the first base is the easiest position for him to play in that team. So you put him out there, you stop the ball at first. You stop it, and you still got an out. Where you have a guy at third that stops the ball but never catches it, it's mostly safe.
Right.
Right?
Right, absolutely.
So at first base, I can still – it's like second base. You can stop that line drive and still be an out, but you can't do that on the left side. But anyways, the Martinez situation is a no-brainer right now in this club, right? It's a no-brainer. He has to play. We have to deal with it. We knew that he was this player, and now we have to deal with it. We have to put him up in the lineup because he's our force. And then we have to deal with the defense. And they're doing it. You know, the last three innings, they're taking him out and putting somebody else and for better defense in the last two innings and things like that. But I don't think he's a bad first baseman. I think it's just not his position. He stops some balls. He's got some good fielding. It's just like he gets caught up in between like a normal first baseman that's never played there, you know. This is normal. You put somebody else that how Matt Adams looked to you.
He was a good player.
At first place.
He was a good defensive player.
He was a good player.
Yeah.
But he didn't look good at first. He catch him. He'll do all these things, but a little bit above Jose. But I don't see him being a Rigo like we're talking or somebody good. I saw Matt Adams catching the ball, you know, he's good. But this is what we need to see, that like these guys is going to help us on the hitting side, and let's move on. Forget about the defense. Obviously, this is what we're going to have, and that's it. You know, if you're going to talk about Jose Martinez's defense being your best hitter out there, then what are you going to say about the other guys that are hitting below 200 or around 200? What the heck are you going to say?
Nothing
about those guys, Ben.
And to that point, it's kind of like I said the other day. What do you think would happen if you played, you know, if you played Void at first, if you played Wong at second, if you played Greg Garcia probably at short. I guess Jerko at third. Tommy Pham in center. Ozuna in left. Harrison Bader in right. I think everybody thinks that that team would be better than the team they're running out there now. I'm not sure that it would be. It would be a little bit better defensively, obviously, but you got to hit.
Well, this
guys score close to win, guys.
You got to score the runs.
It's like you can walk all you want. It's fine. It's great. It walks. It's okay because if you have the guys behind it to hit them and drive them in. But if you get three walks and you get three guys striking out because they're hitting below 200, how in the world are we going to win? I want people to make me understand that a walk is as good as a hit. I don't understand it. I don't understand. I would never do it. And walk is smart when you're 3-0 and you're not swinging at a high pitch. Yeah, I'll take a walk then, or first, second, and third, and you're a lefty and the guy behind you is a righty. Yeah, they're gonna pitch around you. Yeah, that's a smart walk. I don't have a problem. But for you to just keep going out there like Joey Votto the other day, he had a chance to drive in three runs, and he rather take those pitches and, you know, work the walk. There you go. But lucky for him, they score. But they don't always score, man. They don't always score. I mean, I like the walks, Jimbo, but they don't always score. They don't always score. And I'm with you. I think you got to hit to win. I don't care who you are. You have to hit to win. At least you got to score more runs than the other team. That's the first thing you
got
to put in.
Well, yeah, you got to.
How do you do that?
You got to hit.
Hit it.
You got to make plays too. It's a tough thing because you got to make plays too. Can't give away runs. I mean, and giving away runs is hard on the pitching staff. Listen, it all's full circle. What you need is you need players to make plays. You need players to hit. You got to find a way to balance it out. You're never going to have everybody agree on it. That's why we have shows like this one, because not everybody's going to agree. I mean, there are people out there that are going to tell you that, yes, Jose Martinez is our better hitter, but Luke Voit wouldn't be an awful hitter, and he's 10 times the first baseman, so in the end, do we really lose? I don't know.
All right. Well, let him out. Just let Jose out. Let Luke Voit play and see what happens. Very simple.
Well, there's a reason they're not doing it. I think they know the answer.
That's exactly right.
Now, that being said, we'll see what happens. Again, I still think there's things coming along in this club. I think, obviously, we'll see where we're at on Thursday. The reality of it is we can talk about all this all we want. In the end, in my opinion, and I'll leave it at this because we got to go because we're past our time here. The reality of it is if this bullpen doesn't get fixed, it's not going to matter. No matter what we do, it's not going to matter. So, in the end, they've got some real issues with the bullpen. It's going to take. They're going to have to make some.
It's going to matter. It's going to matter to the St. Louis Cardinals on wins and losses. I tell you that.
Yeah. This is a rough. This is going to take. Mo's got his work cut out for him here, and the reality of it is he's put himself in this position because some of these are, you know, this is his deal. These guys in this bullpen are his guys. End of discussion.
Yeah.
So he's going to have to figure this thing out, and we're going to have to go from there. I think the easiest fix right now is, and again, I can understand them wanting to wait a little bit to try to see if they can get some of these guys right, but Ryan Helsley, it's about time for him to come up and be in the bullpen. I mean, Mo already hinted at it in the offseason. I mean, here's another arm like Jordan Hicks. I mean, you know, they talked about him in the same breath in the offseason. I think it's time.
What is his name?
Ryan Helsley, he's a dominant starter down at AAA, and, I mean, he's another guy that throws 100 miles an hour, and, you know, he's a starter down there. But we don't need starters. Jordan Hicks was starter, too. You know, we need guys that can pitch and throw it, miss some bats. I think that's that.
We
I think
need
that,
guys that can get people out. That's it. We need the guys to start doing their job out there. It's very simple, and they'll tell you themselves. I'm struggling. I'm doing this. I'm not doing good. We need guys to start pitching the way they can and get people out, and then we'll be fine. We won't be having these conversations. It's just very simple. The reason we're having this conversation is obviously because they're underperforming. That's all.
Well, and make no mistake about it. There's the reason Brett Cecil is still on this roster, the reason some of these guys are still on this roster is money and contract. It's that simple.
He has to.
It's that simple. It's that simple. Okay. But there, but you know, and here's the deal. And if they want to leave them in there, they're going to get pitched, guys. So I think at the end of the day, we got to stop complaining because they got to pitch sooner or later. You know, I'm sorry.
If he's in the roster in the bullpen and he's active, he has to go out. I don't know why it's just so hard for people to understand that we only got 7 guys in the bullpen or 8, whatever it is. But we only have those guys. You have to spread them out so you don't burn them like they're saying, oh, you're going to kill this guy. No, you don't. But you got to spread them out because you can't have Tui being in the bullpen and not pitch for a week. Then the other guys, and then Myers, when you bring in Myers out and he doesn't pitch for 3 days, you're hurting the whole team. You're hurting the whole other guys. No, you still have to throw those guys out there, and Cecil and whoever it was. You have to throw them so they can feel the other guys can get a rest, a day or something, man.
Well, we'll see. Like I said, in the end, that's my call. It's going to be a bullpen thing if we can get that fixed. I mean, like Carlos Martinez, I know the last 2 outings haven't been great. I'll still put my money on Carlos Martinez to get right. So we'll see what happens. But, hey, I appreciate you guys picking up the slack for me earlier on today. Sorry for being late. I've got all my stuff going on here, and I got to get out of here. So we're going to have to roll. Don't forget, check us out, twobirdsonabat.com. Subscribe to the show. That's the easiest, you know, that's the easiest place to go, and it's the easiest thing to do. It's absolutely free. Find us on Twitter at Birds on a Bat Show. Go to Facebook, type in Two Birds on a Bat, like our Facebook page. Instagram as well, Two Birds on a Bat Show. Special thanks to all of our friends at lineupmedia.fm, home now of the internet radio. Yo Radio, download it. It's absolutely free. Go to the App Store, leave them a review. Let them know how much you're enjoying it. I know it's growing every day, and they keep signing new social influencers that are going to be having their own stations on there. It's doing really well, and I know you'll enjoy it. It seems like streaming music is where it's at these days for sure. You know, listen to what you want to listen to when you want to listen to it. So it's good stuff. Don't forget my producers, Brian Croc and Andrew Allen. They do so much work behind the scenes. It means a lot to us. All of our social media partners, Nate McHenry, RallySquirrel.com, home of the Rally Squirrel Club. To learn more about it, check out RallySquirrel.com. For less than the price of a cup of coffee each month, you too can be a member of the Rally Squirrel Club, so make sure you check it out. I know we enjoy being a part of it. It's awesome. Chris Lawless, Cardinals Nation, Cardinals 24/7, home of their new podcast, Cardinals 24/7. Ron Nuttall, Team of Rivals podcast is another good one. There's so many good ones out there, folks. Give them all a listen. Facebook groups. Mick Light over at Art City Media has done a great job of spreading our show and spreading the word. Thank you so much. We appreciate it. Cardinal Freak always promotes our stuff. Thank you so much. Great Facebook pages, fans of Yadier Molina, St. Louis Cardinals Nation. STL Cardinals is another good one. I try to feature some new ones each and every week. But there's, you know, Cardinals, St. Louis Cardinals crew. What?
You're forgetting my new one.
Well, I'll let you do it. Go ahead.
Cardinals Podcast Network. It's got all your favorite Cardinal podcasts all in one place. You don't have to look. You don't have to find them. Searching is a hassle. Just go to there. It's a Facebook page, Cardinals Podcast Network.
It's one way to stay in tune with all of them for sure. And I'm out of breath. Sooner or later, you got to step up. Hey, and of course, great stuff. And again, to all of our sponsors, InnovativeCompanies.com, home of the construction, heating and cooling, electric and plumbing team. Call my man, Randy Green. Learn more about it, InnovativeCompanies.com. Guys, the most important thing here, he's old school. He's a man of his word. If he tells you he's going to do something, he's going to do it. And that's gotten lost today. That's why Randy Green's your man. InnovativeCompanies.com. Go see Mike and Frank over at Adam's Smokehouse. Have some ribs. I know when Benji comes in town, I know we're all going back over again. Got to get over there and get some ribs. Don't forget Arlington Greens, the hidden gem here in the Midwest. I know all my friends were down there for the Kevin Sitton Memorial. One of my best friends in the world, Steve Sitton, lost his brother years ago in just a freak deal with something, just an odd medical thing that happened. And I'd known his brother forever, and you know he's still to this day thought of in such high regard. And they have a golf tournament every year for him, and Mark Marcuso out there hosts it. And it's just a tremendous opportunity for all of these people to get together and remember a great guy. And celebrate his life, you know, put a little bit of money in a college fund for his daughter. Steve does an awesome job of making sure that someday those girls will be going to college thanks to the memory of their father. So Mark Marcuso does an awesome job, and I know they did a great job down there this weekend as well. Again, we couldn't do the show without the sponsor, so thank you. For all of us here at Two Birds on a Bat, we'll see you Thursday. Let's go, Birds.
Go, Birds.
Go, Birds.
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.